This morning, I've got Professor Dan Henry with me. Good morning, Professor Dan.
Hi.
Hi. Do you like being called professor? Do you insist that your students call you professor?
Most of my students call me Dan.
Dan. Yeah. Do you like make people at home call you professor too? Like
my son occasionally.
The wife and son.
Depending on the moment of discipline.
Oh, I see.
No, he would just make fun of me too, so I try to keep it low key.
Okay.
Except if I'm advertising a class.
Right. Okay. Well, speaking of classes, that's why you're here. You'll be teaching a course on the fundamentals of oral communication. This is a 16-week course that starts January 29th and will run every Tuesday for this 16 weeks from 7 to 9:45 p.m. Tell me about this course, Fundamentals of Oral Communication. What's this all about?
Well, first of all, I want to make it clear that it's actually a 16-week course compressed into 14 weeks.
No.
So it ends the first week in May. That aside, it's a class that students can take for University of Alaska credit. Every University of Alaska student is required a communication class in order to graduate. And I teach a couple of online distance classes through UAS to people around the state. And there seems to be enough interest here locally, or at least people have talked to me for years about this. And so I have offered this class a couple of other times live in Haines, once in the 80s, once in the 90s. So I thought we'd give it a try in the 00s.
In the 21st century now. But you mentioned that UAS students are required to take this, but you don't have to be a university student. You could be somebody who's just trying to learn a little bit more about communicating.
Right, and that's really what I'm gearing this toward, is for people who are going to be using this on the streets. It's an opportunity for people to brush up on their communication skills. Specifically, some of the speeches are geared toward small group decision making, so that's not a speech, that's working things out with a group of people. Mm-hmm. Persuasive speaking, even tourist spieling will be a part of this, and
right.
We will actually give speeches on a bus while it's moving around. So there are lots of opportunities for people to engage in real life communication contexts.
This being a university class, but offered here, how did this come to be?
Like I say, I've been teaching distance classes for about 2.5 years, or this is my third year now for the university, and worked with UAA as a professor up there for 3 years. And I have approached Terry Podziki, the communication education coordinator, a couple of times about getting a class together. And finally, UAS said, we'll give it a try. And Terry has been advocating that we have more local education here. So that's ultimately what happened. We're going to offer a class here. So you can actually take a speech class and speak in front of people who are there at that time rather than a virtual kind of audience.
Right.
Although I have to say, in the distance class, it may be even more difficult with an audience, because each time you give your speech, you have to videotape your audience sitting before you of 5 to 8 people that you have to get together for your speech, for all those speeches. Here, you're just in a class of people that you speak in front of.
More organic this way.
Yeah, easier.
I've read that public speaking is the number one fear in America. That's actually ahead of heights, spiders, snakes, taxes, and in-laws. Why is that?
There's several other things that are more scary or less scary than
less scary, which is hard to believe,
than public speaking. When I was in graduate school at University of Oregon between 1979 and 82, I worked with a woman, Susan Glazer, Dr. Susan Glazer, whose specialty was high speech anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked on programs to deal with people with speech anxiety to help them be able to speak better. And so she was one of my main mentors during that time. And so I had an opportunity to really work with people who get scared speaking in front of other people, which is about 80% of the population. 4 out of 5 people are not all that comfortable speaking in front of others. So I think that the anxiety comes from, first of all, your self-concept, your sense of self-esteem, your sense that others may be judging you, and those sorts of things, kind of common sorts of issues that we might all deal with. I think, secondly, it comes from nothing against my own colleagues, but people who've been traumatized by other teachers,
mm-hmm.
or parents or somebody else who kind of shoved them up and said, give a speech and I'm going to ring this bell every time you clear your throat or say, or, you know, in some way people feel that they've been made fun of in their life, and so there's some trauma behind that.
Some negative conditioning.
Right, and I think generally we have a perfection ideal going about many of our skills, and if we're not really perfect at something, we hate to show it to other people. And public speaking is something that actually does take a lot of practice, a lot of work. A lot of people take it for granted and say, well, I'm going to just go up there and do it. They go up and do it, but they might not have a presentation that's as good as they wanted. And so it's something that makes them uncomfortable.
It's a hard thing to practice by yourself, too.
It is. And we have ways of dealing with that.
We have ways. Well, and we'll get to some of those ways in a moment, too. I wonder if it's also just kind of a fear of the unknown, too. It's like for the same reason people are afraid of heights, you know, it's because what's going to happen if I fall off? What's going to happen if I get up there and, you know,
right,
pee my pants or whatever happens?
Well, there are many things that happen, and part of it is practice. And, you know, you don't get on a bicycle saying what's going to happen. You know you're going to be able to ride that bicycle, but that's only after a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. And like I say, people take their speaking for granted, and they don't really necessarily put the practice in or have the opportunities to develop their public speaking presentations. And so at a borough assembly meeting or at some group meeting, they stand up and speak, and they might experience a lot of anxiety because they haven't practiced that speech 30 times.
Right, right.
And maybe once or twice in their minds, and that doesn't necessarily help that much either. A lot of studies show that unless you actually say the words, practicing in your mind doesn't almost help at all for public speakers.
Hmm. That's interesting. And it also, I guess I've heard, and I don't know if it's true or not, but facing your fears is the best way to get over them. I'm not necessarily a good example of that, but, I think when people are afraid of spiders, they try to get them comfortable with a spider, you know, like have it.
Sure.
Once you get used to it crawling on your hand, then you're not afraid of seeing one on the ground or sure. whatever. So maybe a chance to, certainly an opportunity to attempt
right.
to overcome this fear.
Right.
Who needs to take this course? I mean, is it for public speakers only or, like you said, these are skills that you could use in many different facets of your life. And I think you mentioned before this interview, too, it's a way to make more money.
Well, and that's the bottom line, and I'll get to that in a moment. But I think ultimately that everybody can benefit from a class like this. If you're looking for UA credit, period, then it's a class you're going to have to take. It's much better and much more fun to take it live with a group of people rather than on the distance situation. Although, you know, I teach those classes, but those are somewhat stilted when you're teaching communication with that. There's videos and a lot of other things involved. If you think you're going to be speaking to other people in your job, that is a good reason to take this class. If you're involved in the tourist industry, if you're involved with talking to other people in a group, if you ever think you might have to give presentations, this is a good class to take. But it's not just public speaking. It's also involves small group communication. Certainly, there are many opportunities during your day, during your year, when you are involved with small groups. It also involves nonverbal communication. We have a couple of weeks where we focus on that. It involves parliamentary procedure, also working with the political process and learning how to find your voice there. It deals with interpersonal communication, conflict and conflict resolution. And with this and in this class, you get a good survey, I think, of all those different kinds of communication plus public speaking to help you be a more confident speaker. Last spring, I was teaching this class in Clukwan with 15 members of the tribal council in Clukwan. We had a great time last spring semester, and people came out of that class feeling a lot more confident about their ability to give speeches, having a lot of formulas and recipes down for giving that quick speech easily. You get a lot of outlines, you get a lot of help, you get experience, and you get a sense of camaraderie with the other people in that class who are also working toward the same goal. So whether you have high public speaking skills and you love speaking with people, or you're one of those, that majority of people in America who has a lot of anxiety surrounding public speaking, this class is a great way to warm up to the ultimate reality of having to speak in front of people. And that's where money comes in. If you're able to speak with other people, for example, let's start with interpersonal and small group communication skills, then if you can work in that context with confidence, then in any business will probably put you into some sort of management position, because you can listen to people and perhaps try to work out conflicts and not just react in ways that might exacerbate that problem. If you want to get your way with the public process, or at least have your voice be heard, then rather than grumble about it in your coffee with your friend, going to that public meeting, testifying, making statements to decision makers is going to further your process along. And ultimately, that's for your property and for your life and betterment of everything that's around you. And then, of course, you know, just learning these speeches, if you want to go into public speaking types of things, and certainly in the Upperland Canal, a lot of that is involved with tourism, then if you're a good spieler, you can talk your line and you're confident, you smile, you know what to do, then the tips are good.
Right.
And the pay is there.
Right.
So those are three reasons, I think, that really ultimately it betters your life, even in a financial way.
It seems to me that even if you don't ever speak publicly again in your life, this is still going to be a confidence builder and make you more comfortable in those situations where you might have to speak, even if you don't end up actually having to do it. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure, exactly. And Haines is, and the area, the Upperland Canal, is a great fishbowl example of American democracy in action. There are few places, I think, that can boast a higher level of participation from their residents in the big process of things that affect us. People all feel some sort of ownership with this, and I think that a oral communication class like this really perpetuates that sense of ownership and gives you some power when you're trying to get your way up here.
Right, right. And everybody wants to get their way and make more money, so there you have it. I was going to, you know, I've taken a couple of classes like this. It's been a long time, and, you know, I could probably use a refresher myself. Being that I am in the communication industry myself, there's always room for improvement. I remember a couple of things that I was taught that really early on, I had a drama and speech instructor telling people to pretend that the audience was in their underwear, and it would make you feel more comfortable. I found that to make me very uncomfortable. So I guess everybody's different. I don't know if that's one you'll be using or not.
There have actually been studies about that particular old wives' tale, and you're right. It does make people very uncomfortable.
I don't want to see you in your underwear.
Absolutely, and there are several other bits of information, misinformation mm-hmm. that we have to combat, like look at the tops of people's heads mm-hmm. in the speech. Don't look directly at them. Well, your audience knows when you're only looking at the tops of their heads, and when you only look at the tops of people's heads, you feel weird, the audience feels weird, and you miss that connection. So there are several kind of wives' tales that we work to get over.
Yeah, you'll be covering some of that too, probably. Or,
well, ultimately, you get the most power as a speaker when you establish eye contact with every person in that room. And a little practice and a positive environment like this really helps you become a natural speaker in that way. So you don't have to employ tricks. You just get to be yourself.
All right. Well, that's obviously going to be more effective. Have you ever done any public speaking yourself? Obviously, you have. I don't think there's anybody out there in Radio Land that hasn't seen you speak or heard your voice somewhere before over the past 30 years that you've been here or so.
Yeah, forever. I think it's been more like 25 years, but
that's pretty close to 30.
As a high school student, I got involved in drama, debate, and forensics, and that really captivated me. I went to college on scholarships and was very actively involved in debate and public speaking in college. In graduate school at University of Oregon, I got a graduate teaching fellowship as one of the coaches for a team of 80 people, and we went all over the country with that. And then not long after, in 1983, I came to Haines, and the next year I started teaching a speech class. I taught some writing classes. Of course, I got involved with a lot of public speaking type things, working at the radio station and emceeing at the fair and things like that. I guess this might be a good time to note that really my passion has been the way that people work out conflicts. And in fact, I'll have to admit that was part of the reason I came to Haines right after writing my master's thesis about the rhetoric of American land use conflict. It seemed like Haines was a perfect place to study and it still is, for people resolving conflicts and even moving forward in a very positive way. So I spent a lot of time researching and writing about that topic around the United States, really, how people express their feelings about land use or conflicting issues in communities, and ultimately how they try to resolve those issues. So a little bit of that will probably come into the class as well.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. There's no shortage of conflict in this area.
And conflict resolution, a lot of efforts at making a better from that. So mm-hmm. it doesn't just sit and well and get worse. People locally, as I said earlier about participation, you know, they still take responsibility ultimately and try to work things out.
And as we mentioned before, this is worth University of Alaska credits. But you don't have to be a student.
That's correct.
You know, if you're going to take this course now, you might make some more money in the immediate future. You could be making more money this summer if you're dealing with the tourists, like you said, or you know, maybe getting moved up into management because you're better at communicating and conflict resolution and that sort of thing. Or 10 years from now, you decide to go back to college. Well, you've already got this one under your belt, and you've done it locally with somebody who you know. Or at least have seen around, if you don't personally know, and might even be a little bit easier speaking around some friends or some neighbors than it is complete strangers when you're trying to, you know, break the ice on this activity.
This is really a lot of fun for me, and a lot of fun for the people who take these classes. I've pretty much devoted my life to this sort of thing, and while I was teaching this up at University of Alaska Anchorage, I'm had the opportunity to start the Alaska Native Oratory Society, which involved a lot of Native oratory and storytelling, and we traveled to Alaska, a lot of Alaska Native villages, and spread kind of reinvigorated oral traditions. Mm-hmm. Also, while I was there, I was debate coach at UAA, and in 2002 we won the national championship, and this isn't something I take lightly and or just kind of breeze into. This is really my life's passion. And so I would hope that people would be interested in taking this class because they really do want to move ahead on their communication skills, sharpen your communication skills, develop some new ones, and go out there feeling better about yourself, making more money, making friends, and having the life you really seek.
And here's a chance to learn it face-to-face with one of the best. Again, this is Fundamentals of Oral Communication, a 16-week course that will take place over the course of 14 weeks, starting on January 29th, and it'll be running every Tuesday from 7 to 9:45 p.m. For more information on this or to register, you can call Terry Podziki at 766-6727. Dan Henry, thanks for joining me today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.